How's everybody doing today? Good, good. I'm just going to quickly open up in prayer before we start. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you so much for how good you are. You are such a good, good God, and you are great. You are a mighty God. And I thank you, Father, that I've had the privilege here to speak your word today, Father. I pray that you give me the strength to do so, but that you get the glory. Father, I pray that you would open up everyone's hearts and their minds as your word is spoken today, and that you get the glory. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, guys, it's actually a blessing to speak to you guys today. While I was putting this together, it was actually convicting me. I started about a week and a half ago, just going through some of, I had an idea what I want to talk about, but even with Pierre helping me a few times, it changed, and it kind of evolved into something different, and it was the Holy Spirit guiding me. I had one idea of what I wanted to talk about, and then today it's something totally different. So, but I believe that it's the Holy Spirit. 10 years ago, I was teaching English in South Korea, and while I was there, I met another Canadian, and his name was Barack, like the president, but not the president. He was from Toronto, and we would have a lot of discussions. We would talk about philosophy, we would talk about all the different kinds of things, politics, but we would talk about God a lot, and this guy was an atheist. He just didn't believe that there was no God. Like, he went out of his way to prove to me that God didn't exist and that what I believed was not only wrong, but I was a fool for believing it. And so we had a lot of talks. And one of the talks we had, he brought up the Ten Commandments. And he told me, John, Christianity is a bunch of phony baloney. When you look at the Ten Commandments, the first commandment, they tell you to love the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And he looked at me and said, John, nobody worships gods anymore. Like, back in the old day, they used to worship statues and idols. No one does that today. If you walk down Toronto or Montreal, you don't see little shrines of gods. He's like, that's just, it's an old religion. No one does that anymore. And then he continued. He said, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. And he pressed that point even more. He's like, John, nobody worships little deities, little gods. And I thought about that, and I was like, and then it came to me. We still worship other gods. We still have idols in our lives. The difference is that, yes, we don't actually create a little statue and worship it maybe in the morning or in the afternoon, but we do so in our hearts. And so today I'm going to go through parts of the Bible, and we're going to look at our heart. And I don't want you guys to be comparing to maybe Canada or maybe someone else. I want you to look at your own heart. As I go through these passages, think about, is there idols in my heart? So I'm just going to quickly read this again. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, before me, it also means against me. And so what God is saying is that you cannot worship God and another God. You can't worship God and money. You can't worship God and fame. You can't worship God and maybe this other God. It's God and nothing else. And we get that in the New Testament, where Jesus says you can't have two masters. So before, it basically means you cannot worship me and something else. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. Now, when we think of the word jealous, we think that, you know, that's a horrible trait. But with God, he deserves all praise and all worship. And he actually, in the Old Testament, he constantly refers to himself as like our husband. And when you think about a relationship between a man and a woman who are married, it would be wrong for a woman to be like, okay, I'm with you today, I'm just going to go and be with someone else tomorrow and I'll come back to you today. That husband would be like, no, 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 I'm your husband and that's it. It's the same thing with God. So before we go on, I'm going to press this a little further. This is Jesus speaking. Now this is, Jesus was being tested. And this smart guy thought that he could trick Jesus. And this is what he asked. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, so this is what Jesus said back, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment and the first commandment. This is what Jesus said. So as we look through this today, we're going to see that as Christians, as children of God, we have to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. In some versions, they say with all our strength, and basically meaning with everything that you are, you must love God. Oh, yeah. Now, this is going to help us look at our heart and what is an idol in our heart. So when Jesus, in Matthew 6, he was going through like how to pray, how to fast. And then he also talks about money. And there's actually a lot of times Jesus talks about money. But in this verse, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And this is the part I want you guys to remember. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so you guys got to ask yourself right now, where is my treasure? Where do I put my hope in? Where is my thoughts mostly being consumed? Because where your thoughts are usually going towards, where you find your hope, that's your treasure. And 10 times out of 10, that's your God. And like I'm saying right now, this speaks to me too. Like, I'm not just preaching to you guys. When I was going through this, it was like, oh man, I have idols in my heart. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at three kings. Now, this is in the Old Testament, and these are the kings of Judah. And I don't know if you guys can make this out. It's actually really small. But we have King David. Everybody remembers King David, and he had a son, Solomon. Well, after Solomon, he had a son, Rehoboam. And then he had a son, and he had a son, and it kept on going this way until the destruction of Jerusalem. What I'm going to be looking at is three kings. Jehoshaphat, who was a very good king. Manasseh, who was probably the worst king ever. And then Josiah, which is probably one of the best kings. And the question is, how did they deal with idols in the kingdom? How did they deal with idol worship in the kingdom? And I want to ask you guys to decide, which king do you want to be like? So we'll start off with Jehoshaphat. Now Jehoshaphat, he was a very good king. He was 35 years old when he began his reign as a king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. He walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. So this guy was a really good guy. He was a good king. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But there's a but. Yet the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and made offerings on the high places. Now the question is, what is a high place? Back in the Old Testament, even before the Israelites came to Canaan, a lot of the people in that area, they would worship deities and gods. Some of these gods were Baal, and he was the god of the storm, and he was the god who would actually, they would pray to him to bring their crops in the spring. But what they would do is that they would actually pray to him on hilltops, and they would have these natural little shrines, and some of them were actually built into the stone. Some of them, they would actually build altars, and they would sacrifice, and they would pray to these gods. When the Israelites came into the land, they were supposed to destroy everything, but unfortunately they didn't, and a lot of these shrines were left. Now God told them, do not pray to these gods, but also don't use these shrines, don't use these altars for your prayer. And what they would do is, a lot of the Israelites, they would actually pray to God, the true God, but they would pray to him at these shrines. And you can kind of see what their thinking was like. They're like, well, I'm praying to God. There's nothing wrong with that. It's more convenient. And a lot of times it was actually out of convenience that they would go to these high places, because especially when Jerusalem became their city and they had the temple, a lot of these people, they lived out in the countryside, and it would take a long time for them to walk into Jerusalem and to actually pray to God in the temple. Well, wouldn't it be a lot easier if I could just go to the nearby shrine and pray to God there? I mean, it's not a big deal, right? But it was. God actually said, do not pray to me, do not worship me like they worship their gods. There's a difference. In today's world, we do the very same thing. Now, we don't have a shrine off into the distance, but we have high places in our own heart. And what we do is that we'll actually worship God, not how he tells us to worship him in the Bible, but we worship him how we think he should be worshipped. We worship him and we see him how we want him to, how we want him to be. I remember I had a t-shirt. I feel so bad about having this t-shirt. It was, Jesus is my homeboy. And it was supposed to be like a cool t-shirt. It showed Jesus and he had sunglasses on and he was kind of like this. And it was meant to be funny. But in a lot of ways, that's the King of Kings. That's the Lord of Lords. And in so many ways, that t-shirt was just making low of him. This is the high God that we serve. And we do that all the time. There's that TV show, I think it was Jesus Christ Superstar. It was back in the 70s. That depiction of Jesus, I mean, he looked more like a hipster more than anything else. It was a depiction of what they wanted their Jesus to be. Well, who is the real God that you serve? And the thing about the high places, and this is the most important thing, is that Jehoshaphat, he was a good king. He went out of his way to destroy all those idols and demon worship, but he didn't destroy the high places. They were blind spots in his kingdom. Either he forgot about it or he didn't think it was a big deal. There's a part in Song of Songs where it says, catch for us the foxes in the vineyard. And it means the little sins. There's so many times in our life where we're like, well, I don't kill, I don't murder, I don't commit adultery, and you just go through all these big, giant sins, and you're like, well, I'm a good person. But what about those little sins in your heart? What about selfishness, greed, anger, pride? Those things can take a hold of your heart, and they're high places in your heart because it's not a big deal. So now we're going to move on to another king, Manasseh. So we have Jehoshaphat. Now he died and he had many sons or grandchildren. And then we have right here Manasseh. And as you can see, he was a very evil king. And we're going to see how evil he was. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. So he was really young when he started to be king. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Now it's really good to point out that he was king in Jerusalem longer than anybody else. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, just so you know, I didn't just copy and paste everything. I kind of just took the main points. So if you start going through your Bible, I didn't add to it, but I just didn't put all the verses chronologically. But you'll see. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, for he rebuilt the high places. His grandfather, Hezekiah, actually went through the land and he destroyed all the high places. He was a really good king. He actually rebuilt them. He put them all back up. And he erected altars for Baal. Now, like I said, Baal was the god that the people would worship, the Canaanites would worship. And he was the god of agriculture. They would pray to him to bring the crops back. He was also the god of war, and he was called the storm god. So the word Baal means Lord, and people would pray to him. And he was almost like a competing, when the Canaanites looked at the Israelites, they're like, well, you worship your Yahweh, but we worship Baal. He's more mightier. So there was always conflict between the Canaanites and the Israelites. And he built altars for Baal, and he built altars in the house of the Lord. So if anybody knows the Old Testament, God commanded Solomon to build a house of the Lord. And that's where God resided with his people. And it was a big thing. This is where God was actually with his people. And the Lord himself said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And like we learned about in a youth group, God's name is a very powerful thing. It's I am who I am. And that means that he is the self-existing God. So this was very big. But this guy, Manasseh, he puts idols, he puts altars of other gods in the temple, in the very temple of God. And he burned his, now this is very important, he burned his son as an offering. There was a god called Moloch, and sometimes it's pronounced Moloch. He was this huge bronze statue with a huge head of a bull. And inside his abdomen was an empty hole, and inside was a furnace, and his arms are stretched out. And people in that day and age, what they would do is they would sacrifice their children, their firstborn, and they would put it into the fire. And it was supposed to give them riches. It would make them prosperous. If they sacrifice to this god, well, he will give back to them more money, more wealth, and he'll actually give them more children. So people would do this. And this was seen, God told him, this is evil, and it is evil. This is abomination. That was the word that was used. This king, he's an Israelite, king of Judah, God's people, he actually not only built those idols, he sacrificed his own son. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. And that's a hyperbole, but it's getting the point across that this man, he killed a lot of innocent people. He was a very evil king. Now, I'm not saying that you guys are going to go out and do these things, but you can see what happened here. You have one king who simply neglects the high places. Then we have another king who goes out of his way to do evil. He goes out of his way to rebuild these high places. And so you want to ask yourself, in your own heart, are you neglecting the high places in your heart? The little sins in your heart? The idolatry in your heart? The things that take place over God? Or are you even like Manasseh? He goes for those things. He doesn't care what God says. He actually goes out of his way and seeks after things that brings him pleasure, that brings him prosperity, even if it is wrong, even if it is evil, even if it is sinful. Now, I should actually say more about idols in your own heart. Before we continue, these idols that they would worship, Baal. There was another idol that they would worship was Asherah. And Asherah was a little female statue, and it was a fertility god. And they would pray to this god that they would have a lot of children. A lot of times how they would pray was actually through prostitution. And so there was a lot of evil deeds at how they would worship these gods. But they would pray to these gods because these gods would help them. You can see it. Like, if you were living back in those days and you were a farmer, and you depended on your crops, and you also depended that you'd have a lot of children to help you in your farm. Well, if you heard that there's this god named Baal, that if you prayed to him, you'd have good crops next year, and everybody else is doing it, I think all of us in that situation would be tempted to want to pray to this Baal. Maybe we'd want to pray to the Asherah, this goddess who would actually give us more children. Maybe we'd even be tempted to worship the Moloch. He would give us prosperity. But in all three of those cases, they take the place of God. And so the question is, in our own life, what takes the place of God? It is the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, who is Lord of our hearts, or he should be Lord of our hearts. And the question is, how much of your heart is being occupied by your own desires, by your own idols? And so last night I was asking Amanda, and I was like, I need some examples of idols. Like, in our own life, there's hundreds of idols, and I was just naming a few. I think money is just an easy example, and obviously Jesus talks about it in Matthew. That's the point he was making. Entertainment, and this is something in my own life. I could watch Netflix for hours on end. And actually, a lot of these examples I'm going to give are not evil in themselves, but when they take the place of God, that's when it becomes a problem. Entertainment, pleasure, and that could take all forms. Family. Sometimes family itself, if family becomes all you think about, all you want, all your hopes, all your dreams, that becomes your God. That replaces God in your life. Work. I know myself, work can become a god in your life. You identify yourself as work. Do you identify yourself as a child of God? as God's son or daughter? Or do you identify yourself in your work? Some people, their God is approval. They need approval by either their boss, their friends, their family. People, sometimes their God could be a sense of purpose. You need purpose. Everybody has a sense of purpose, but when that becomes your God, well, that's idolatry. Selfishness. Some people can be, I'm very selfish. I naturally just want to put myself ahead of everybody else. But if all I do, and that is wrong, that is definitely a sin, but it's also idolatry. If that's all I do and that's all I think about is me, well, I become my own God. And that's the world we live in, actually. In North America, idolatry mostly is seen as self-worship. Everything goes, well, if I don't agree with it, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, we become our own gods. Health. Health can be your own god. We're not going to live forever. But when that consumes, and health is very important, but if that consumes your life, your thoughts, your actions, that can become your god. Success. Now, I'm just going to quickly ask these questions, and then we'll jump into Josiah. And ask yourself this question. Think about it. Examine your own heart. What do you love? Is there something you love more than God? What do you want? What do you desire? What do you crave? Is it a skidoo, a new car? Is that something that totally occupies your mind all the time? Is there something in your life that you arrange your schedule? And that's all you do. It's like you can find time to go skidooing. You can find time to play a sport, but you don't find time for God, for His Word, for quiet time with God. Well, your schedule life will actually show you where your God is. What is your idol? What do you fear? A lot of times, actually, what you fear can be your God. Maybe you fear disapproval from somebody. Well, that's a God. What do you spend most of your time doing? And I said that your schedule can be a great example or show you what your idol is. So now we're going to go to the last king, Josiah. And me and Amanda, we read through it again last night, and it was just like, now here's a king. Josiah was 8 years old. He was 8 years old when he became king. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, what's great about this story, and I just have to tell the story, is that while he was king, he actually ordered the temple to be rebuilt. Now, Josiah is Manasseh's grandchild. Manasseh was that evil king. This is his grandchild. Manasseh was an evil king for 55 years. In that time, not only did he put all those idols up and do horrible deeds, he also probably, he put idols in the temple. But they're pretty sure that he made a command to destroy all the old covenant books. There was no book of the Old Testament in there. No one could find them. And so when Josiah gets on the scene, he actually orders the temple to be rebuilt. And so all the masons and carpenters are working on this temple. And then suddenly they find something, possibly hidden in a wall, maybe hidden in some secret little spot. They find one book of the Old Testament. Hilkiah, the high priest, said, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." They came across this book. And think about it, for 55 years, probably no one read the Old Testament. It'd be like if for 55 years we burned all the Bibles in this church, yet there was one little Bible hidden in the back and someone found it. And it's like, I think this is a Bible. So they found the book of the law. Now, what happens is that he reads it to King Josiah. He reads the book of the law to Josiah. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. When he heard the words of God, he was filled with so much grief, so much anguish, that he tore his own clothes. And that was something to do at that time, but you can almost think like his heart was torn. He saw that of all the evil deeds that were done before him, maybe all the evil deeds that he's done, he was livid. He couldn't get over of what God wanted him to do. And what happens is, he says, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book. So he's reading this book and it totally changes his life. It's almost like he got hit with a freight train. He was changed from that point on. And remember, he was a good king at this point. He wasn't like a Manasseh who was evil and then read God's word and changed. He was a pretty good guy. And yet, reading God's word, it changed him. So he says, concerning the words of this book that has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. He knew when he read this, he's like, we have not been listening to God. We've moved away from God's word. We've moved away from what God wants. And he knew that God's wrath was upon him and upon his nation. Now, what's amazing about Josiah is what he does after. First off, he actually makes a covenant with God. Before he makes the covenant, he reads the book of the law to all the people. Then he makes a covenant with them. We're going to skip that. But it says in 2 Kings that he loved the Lord, his God, with all his heart, all his mind, all his strength. What does that remind us of? Exactly what Jesus said. He went so far, he loved God so much that after that, he destroyed all the high places. And he didn't just destroy them. It said that he took those altars and he crushed them into dust. And I really loved what Pierre did today with the lamb. That celery was so tempting to Lammy. At first, Lammy just kind of went away from it, but he was always kind of staring at it. And because he was staring at it, he then got a little closer and a little closer. And bam, he was eating the celery. Josiah didn't do that. He didn't just leave those altars up there. He didn't just destroy them. He went an extra mile. He crushed them into dust. There was no way that those altars were ever going to cause another person to sin. He went so far in purifying his country that he actually went into Samaria, outside of Judea, and he started destroying all the other altars of high places. He went into the temple. He destroyed all the gods. He actually went into the area, it's called Tobeth, and that's where they had that huge statue where they'd burn little children. He went in there and he destroyed it all. He would actually go out of his way. It said that he would desecrate these areas. He would pile them full of human bones and he would light it on fire. And it was to make sure that no one would ever go there again. Jews wouldn't touch bones. It would be a taboo. And so he would go out of his way to make sure that they would never go back there again. It'd be just like if little Lammy took that celery and threw it in the garbage. You wouldn't want to eat the celery if it went in the garbage. Now, I love how it ends. Now, I said when he made a covenant with God, it said that he loved the Lord his God with all his heart, mind, and soul. And this is how it ends. So it's talking about Josiah. He walked in all the way of Asa his father. He did not turn aside from doing it, what was right in the sight of the Lord. Oh, that's Jehoshaphat. Here we go. Oh yeah, here it is. Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart. There was no king like him, not even David, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses. No one was even like him after him. Josiah was a king like no one other. And what he did is he went through his kingdom and rooted out all those idols, all those high places. So I want to ask you, which king do you want to be? Do you want to be like Manasseh? I'm pretty sure none of us will say yes, because he was evil. But do you want to be like Jehoshaphat, who was a good king? He was a good king, but he left those high places. He left those little sins in his heart. Do you want to be like Josiah, who went out of his way to destroy those high places, those idols. Remember, you can only have one God, one Lord in your life. Now, I kind of left it as a trick. When Jesus says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your might or mind. The truth is that we can't do it. If I just left it at this, I think a lot of people would be like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to be like Josiah. I'm going to destroy everything. And maybe, who knows, you'd maybe destroy half the stuff in your house. But that wouldn't get you any closer to God. And the truth is that how good Josiah was, years, actually just a few years later, Jerusalem was destroyed. How good he was didn't do a thing to Jerusalem. And you know what? If the same with you. If you think that you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, it won't work. There's only one good king. And this is it. This is the whole point. Jesus is the good king. He's the better king. He's even better than Josiah. How good Josiah was, Jesus is the better king. And if you accept him into your heart, and if you are a Christian, if you let him rule in your heart and root out those idols in your heart, those high places, and he does a good work, but you got to let him. And that's it. We can't do it on our own. It's so funny when Jesus says this, he knows that we can't love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, not without him. We need his strength. We need him in our life. And every day, you got to pray to God, God, help me to love you more. And before I close, something else that we can take from Josiah as an example is his response from reading God's word. Now, when they found that book of the old law, it was there for 55 years, maybe longer. When you read it, it's like Josiah is just glued to it. He can't get over this. He's just reading it, and it changes his life. How often do you read God's word? Is it changing your life? When you read God's word, is it just empty words? Is it just blank history? Or does it actually affect your soul? Does it affect your heart? Does it affect your mind? It did with Josiah. And we saw the effects that it had. So in closing, I'm just going to read this from 1 Timothy. Paul writes this to Timothy. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight. And then further on, he says, to keep the commandment unstained and free from the reproach until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus is that good king. He's much better than Jehoshaphat. He's much better than Manasseh. And he's even better than Josiah. And he will rule in your heart. But you can't have two kings. You can't have two gods. If you're serving Christ, if there's idols in your life, even if you think it's a high place, it doesn't really matter. It can't be. You got to destroy that. You got to tear that down. It can only be God. Okay, I'm just going to pray and we'll close. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the true king. You're the better king. I thank you, Father, that you want to rule in our hearts. I pray, Father, that we would let you rule, that we would let you into our hearts, and that you would root out those small sins, those high places, those idols, those things that we put our hope into, those things that we find comfort in. But all our comfort, all our hope should be in you, Jesus. I pray that you'll be with us day and day, that we'll be we'll have a desire to read your word. We won't want to read a fiction or watch a movie, Father, but that before we go to bed, when we wake up in the morning, we'll have a true desire to read your word and see what you have to tell us. I thank you, Jesus, for your good work, and I thank you for your love. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.